not the green light. And they're all different. The one I had on this morning is completely different from this one. They need to have a manual with these things. At least it's not the one that hangs on your head. I don't like that one. So we're at Lighthouse Baptist. They have a missions conference. And they had an early service. They had a service and they had an eating and then an early service. And I told Pastor, I didn't tell him that this is where Samantha goes to church. So I was kind of, I'm glad I could show him where she goes to church. It's a, you know, Ackham's a long way from home, and so is Samantha. So we're going to go visit her afterwards, and don't tell him. Hopefully you don't live stream this. If you do, fuzz him out. So they don't know that he's here. So we'll go see them. Pastor Ackham, in May was here. He was able to get a 3-year visa for the States. Impossible to do that. It was very difficult. And God worked that out. I'm in a transition right now because with Maggie's paperwork. So I'm helping a church in Tennessee and going back and forth to Africa. In fact, I leave November 4th. Just to give you an update, you heard me talk about the ministry at the lake. We are now getting ready to put our second church up there. And I wish I could show you the video. This week, Fraser sent me a video. He said, Pastor, the supplies are going up to the lake. I looked at the video and I wish I could just scream in the video and they could hear me because the boat was so heavy. There was only that much water between that and the side of the boat. And I'm looking at that going, no. I said, I quickly typed back, but I know he didn't get it right away. I said, get another boat. And he's looking at this boat. And I'm telling you, if you saw it, you wouldn't get on it. I mean, it has death written all over it, right? And I'm like, Fraser, just get another boat. Thank you. I immediately put it on WhatsApp. I said, please pray that this thing doesn't sink. So a couple days went by and I get a recording form and it says, I have bad news. I'm like, uh-oh. He said, we lost 4 bags of cement. And I went, praise the Lord. Only 4 bags, I'll call that a success. Where we're going at this new spot where we put the second church, the only church there is a Jehovah Witness church. That Jehovah Witness church has, there's no electricity on this particular beach, but they put a church there. It even has a video projector where they satellite feed somebody from the States. And then somebody interprets. That's the depth that they went to get the gospel to this beach. And there's no truth. And you look at that and you say, well, we know we have the truth. Unfortunately, they beat us there, but we're right behind them. And there's a group of people there that met today. I saw pictures. They're eagerly awaiting us to finish that church. We're going to go there in November and put that on. Pastor Ackham, those of you that have been to Africa, there's a outdoor pavilion. This year during the Bible conference, they had 700 people come to that. And that's huge. 700. And they did that under their own volition. They came, they spent the night from Wednesday till Sunday. We just put bathrooms and we never had bathrooms for the people until just recently. And that was always very interesting. Remember the first time that you asked me for soap? Remember that? Do you remember that? So one time he said we were having a Bible conference and he said, the people forgot soap. And this, I was new to Africa and I'm like, you didn't bring soap? These people want me to do everything for them. So I said, Ackham, how many bars of soap am I going to need to buy? You know what he told me? One for the men and one for the women. And there were like 400 people there. I felt about that big. I said, go buy soap. Lots of bars. So when they come to this conference, until recently, there wasn't even a bathroom. But this time we had 700. Before 400 people would come, they'd walk, they'd ride trucks, and to them that conference was a big deal. They were excited to be there. They brought their own food. They set up little kitchens underneath trees, butchered chickens. They listened to singing. They heard preaching. And they don't want to miss that. And you think about what we have in America. We are blessed. Beyond we can imagine. And I'm very proud of Pastor Ackham. That ministry there has gone beyond anything that we could do. But if it wasn't for churches like this one, you know, Pastor Ackham was able to do 4 years of college. He'd go to school on Sunday evening, come back on Friday. While he was away, he couldn't work. In churches like this, you paid for his college bill. You fed his family during the week. You put gas in his motorcycle. And you took care of his family so he could do that. And now churches like this, we don't need him working a part-time job. I mean, he knows the language. He needs to be 100 miles an hour every day for the Lord. And without churches like yours, we couldn't do that. And we're able to see God. We started a Christian school. There's 95 kids going to that Christian school now. If you gave me 500 Bibles in Bemba and took them out in the bush, it would not solve the problem we have. There are preachers who preach to people that will never read the Bible. Do you know why?
Can't read.
Wouldn't matter how many Bibles I take them. They can't read. So one of the things the school has started there is the teachers on their own has started an adult education program. And to see African ladies, 30 and 40-year-old ladies, and 30 and 40-year-old men, some even older than that, sit down and take classes. Last Sunday, one of the people that were in that class is one of our African pastors. He was on his way home going into town from church, riding a bicycle, and he got hit by a car and went home to heaven. We got the news last Sunday. It's very sad. Had his funeral. And something they do in Africa that we're not really used to here. It's Samantha's uncle. He takes a picture of it and says, "Look who died today." And he's laying on the road. And it's like, you know, send the message, then the picture, would you? You know, I mean, they just, to them, it's every day. And I looked at that picture of him laying on the side of the road, and you could tell the car hit him so hard it broke his femur and he just bled to death. And I looked at that picture and I recognized something. He had laid on the side of the road until one of our pastors found him. And people would say he died all alone. But he didn't. The shoes that he had on his feet came from a church in Illinois. The pants and the shirt came from a church in Tennessee and in Michigan. The tie was from a church in Pennsylvania. And the bicycle was from another church. He didn't die alone. He was surrounded by people that love him and they care about him. And he's in heaven. And you'll never know what missions does. I mean, some of you that have gone, you get a good idea. But it couldn't happen without churches like this, and thank you. This place is a special place to me. I'm glad to be back here. It has a lot of fond memories. Take your Bible, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. And when Brother Steepman asked me if I was ready to preach, I sat there and I'd been thinking about something this morning. I really had it on my heart, but it's not really a missions conference message, but now I know why I had it on my heart. And let's pray. I want to look at the Bible this evening. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that's in it. Thank you for taking such good care of us. Thank you that you didn't leave our national pastor alone and you have not left us alone. You walk with us every day. And Lord, I pray that you would do something that I cannot do. That you would make yourself very real in this room. That without a doubt we can say tonight afterwards that we've been with you. And Father, I can't do that. You left us a Bible that we sung about already. Lord, we need your Spirit to visit us and help us. Thank you, Jesus, for being so kind, loving, and forgiving. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. If you look at this chapter 10 and verse 1, now I, Paul, 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Boy, I love those words. Now, I've really lately have just been trying to slow down a little bit, put a chair in a chapter and just look around. And sometimes you can't go very far until you stop and you think, wow, that is just so heartwarming. It's like having Thanksgiving on a page right in front of you. You know, it's like you're around family. Listen to what it says. Now, I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And I just think about who Jesus is. And yes, one day there will be those who are judged. But I'm so glad that I know him personally. And I'm glad that he's gentle. And I'm glad that he's meek. You know, it says, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. He's saying, no, this would be a little bit harder in person, but in a letter I can share my heart. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And we know the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The enemy that we face every day sometimes has people attached to it, but they're not the enemy. There is a greater enemy behind everything that you see in this world that's evil. That's just a byproduct of what he does. I mean, what we're fighting against is against principalities and powers and dominions and things that we have no chance of standing up against. That's what we wrestle. That's what I go up against. The arch enemy of God, Satan himself. And I am helpless against something like that. And he goes to say, but I beseech you, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Well, that's really good. I'm glad that they're not carnal because my enemy does not have a body. Okay, so I am very glad that the weapons that I am going to go up against him with are not carnal, because they would do no good. I mean, there's not a weapon on this earth that Satan himself would be afraid of at all. We're nothing to him. And God says, I knew that, so the weapons I give you, just like you, who you wrestle is not flesh and blood. These weapons, they're not carnal. They're not of a man. They're not of this earth. They're beyond that. Okay? It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And immediately, oftentimes, when you hear a verse like this, you think about the sins, the top 10 sins, drinking, drugs, immorality, and those things. But your average human being, especially those of us that know Christ, the things that really, really get us from day to day are not those. They're things that we can't see. They're part of who we are that have roots way back to sometimes even when you're a child. They're things like fear and depression, worry, doubt, insecurities. These things that begin as we begin to grow and determine who we are. I know when my son was little, I had a fish tank. And I know you still have your fish tank. I have a fish tank. And I had some bluegill in that fish tank. And I had my son go feed. It was actually bigger than a bluegill. It was like a bluegill and a bass had an accident. And I had him feed it when he was like 3-4 years old. Well, we went to do it. That fish latched on to his little pinky, clear to the knuckle. So he pulls that thing out screaming and with his fish attached to it. I mean, he's having a breakdown, right? So I get the fish off of him and I give him the fish food and I said, feed him again. No, wasn't going anywhere near that fish tank. I mean, I literally had to hold him down and make him feed him. And Maggie's like, what are you doing? I said, try not to create somebody that has fishophobia when he's 16. I don't want him to see a fish tank and start, you know, melting down and needing pills, you know? I said, because if I leave him alone now, he's just going to carry that into his adulthood. He needs to understand. That was what I'm like, Lord, please don't let him bite him twice. I don't think he can handle that twice. Well, if we were honest with ourselves throughout life, what it is, it's just one event. Creates a little space. The devil gives a foothold. And the Bible says not to give him that foothold. But he gets one little space. He gets his foot in there, and over the years, he claims a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more of that territory. Until he owns a certain part of who we are. Now, we've learned a function that nobody else knows, that we can hide it really well. But those are strongholds that limit us. There's those things that in the background interfere with relationships and with people. That cause problems at work and will show up at home. Those hidden things that we carry, these hurts of lives, of being on this planet, to begin to form who we are, and we let it dictate how we feel and what we do. The stronghold's not just alcohol or music. The stronghold can be worry, doubting God, wondering what he's doing, not being able to function because of all these other things around us. And they do affect our everyday lives. And it's not just those big things that he gets us with that we think. I mean, you understand what plunged the whole entire world into sin? It wasn't an alcohol problem. It was a doubt problem. It was not being able to fully and 100% trust what God said. And that caused a whole lot of problems. And here they said that for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, that these things can be overcome. That you do not have to deal with. I mean, you meet people, I mean, real people that have problems with getting on an airplane. They don't want to be like that. Now to me, who's flown all over the place, I'm just like, come on, just get on there. But the devil doesn't have that stronghold in me. But you know what he does have? See, I didn't grow up in a kind of home like a lot of you guys are used to. My mom and dad would scream and holler and, I hate you, I'm going to leave you, I wish you were dead. And that's where I grew up. So one of the things that hold me back is I can be very sensitive. I can take things personally when I shouldn't take things personally. I wear my feelings on my sleeves. I don't like that about myself. I know it's there. I try not to let that interfere with relationships. You see what I'm talking about? Now, you don't have to get up here and tell people where maybe you have a stronghold, but you ought to let the Lord know that. And he doesn't want people to be limited by those things. And if God can help somebody with alcohol, he can help us with the areas that the devil has a stronghold in our lives. And I like that when he goes on and he says this. He says that casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Do you know fear acknowledges it? That gets in the way of who God is. Fear does that. Do you know doubt does that? Do you know worry gets in the way of that? Insecurities gets in the way of that. It says to cast down imaginations. These things in my mind that I have now had them become reality because I have made them reality. I am the one letting them limit me. They really have no power unless I let it have power. And they're the ones that get in the way of who God is. They keep me from trusting Him 100%. Doing what I need to do. That's sometimes why, you know, I literally had one of my deacons, I asked him to teach Sunday school. I honestly thought he was going to pass out. He's like, I can't get in front of people. Do you believe we have an enemy? Do you think he wants Sunday school teachers? No. Well, why all of a sudden the phobia of getting up in front of people? It's like you ask him to do that and poof, you won't see him in church for the next 2 weeks. You know, I'm going on vacation. Well, he called me Sunday morning on his story. He says, I can't come. I've been in the bathroom throwing up all morning. Okay, and I'm thinking, seriously? Okay, it's a good thing I can do Sunday school off on the fly because I have to go cover this because to him, that was a big deal. I mean, this is a big strapping guy who should not have had a problem. What happened? He let something exalt itself above God that's now controlling him. And God said that you don't have to live with that. You can cast that down through me. Because he's mighty to pulling down of strongholds. And again, we think of strongholds as some big top 10 sin. That's not what it is. It's anything. Look at what it says. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that acknowledges itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought. Every thought. In Africa, when we left, I noticed that my daughter, every time she would get invited someplace, she said she would go, and like 20 minutes before she goes, she'd cancel it. And she kept doing that. A friend would call and say, hey, do you want to come over? She'd say, yes. And I turned around, I'm like, what are you still here for? And I kept going on and on and on until one day I walked into her room and noticed she's on the floor, rocking back and forth, just crying. And she said, Dad, I can't stop. I don't know what's wrong with me. Well, we've been in Africa, and she got a little scared. And instead of telling somebody about it, she let that fear play over in her mind over and over again. Until she had such a worst-case scenario in her head of what she thought would happen, she can't go out the door. God doesn't want people to live like that. God doesn't want... That's a stronghold. That's holding us back. God says, I don't want you to live like that. And these weapons that I give you, they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. It's not, if we believe he can help somebody that's got an alcohol problem, certainly he can help us. And you can plug whatever those strongholds are in, but I just like the fact, I'll read it one more time, then we're going to go on to the second part of this. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, with that, I want you to go to Psalms chapter 18. Because the only way I can really make this possible is to understand what that's like. What are these weapons like? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ hears you when you pray? Do you believe that? Give me an amen if you believe that. Do you believe he's real? Do you believe that all you have to do is cry out to him and immediately you come on the radar screen? And he says, hey Dave, you got my attention. Well, you read David, and David not only had some sin problems, but because he had some sin problems, he had some personal problems. He had problems within his kingdom. He had friends that betrayed them. He had his own children walk away from him. He had people talking about him, bringing him up the past of what he did before. He had all of these things on him where he felt beat down all the time. And I want you to listen to his heart as he shares this with us in Psalms 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And remember, truly, we cannot take care of these things on our own. Okay, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Do you believe that? If that's who he is, then strongholds, not a big deal to him. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation in my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Now listen to what he talks about. He's sharing his heart in verse 4. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. This is the same guy who stood on a battlefield with a slingshot and a rock. And he says he's afraid. Afraid of what? Of the talk and of people and of all the turmoil and relationships around him has made the giant killer afraid. Do you ever think you'd see David? I mean, I'm thinking if you're going to be afraid, it's a good time to do that when there's a 10-foot giant trying to kill you. And what does he do back then? Runs at it. Why in the world would you run at a giant? I'd be running the other way. He ran at it. And all of a sudden, this giant killer is telling you the truth. Sometimes he doubted whether or not God even loved him because of some of the things he went through in his life. You know, he's struggling with what he did and what he's supposed to be and where he's at, and all these doubts are coming in, and he says, I'm afraid. Afraid of this inner turmoil that's inside of me. Okay? He goes on to say this. The sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, not a distress from a physical enemy, but in distress of himself. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Isn't that very comforting to think that, yes, David messed up, but God never turned his back on him. And David cried, and God heard him. May I tell you something? From the depths of your heart and in your stronghold, you could cry out to the Lord today. And the Bible says he hears you. Now, I can't make you believe. Can't make you trust this. I can just tell you what happened when he did it. And here's what happened. So you see this. Okay? In verse 6, what happened? He was distressed, and what did he do? He called upon the Lord, and he cried. And what happened? God heard him, right? Okay? What happened when God heard him? Listen to this. Here's what happened. Because God just heard him. Okay? And here's David explaining what happened after God heard him. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. Who was wroth? God was wroth. Why? Because one of his children is up against something he can't handle. And he just cried from earth and said, Dad, I need you. And that verse says, he heard him. And when he heard him, the earth shook. It says, then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of the hills were moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down. So get this, David is talking to you and he's telling you about the inner turmoil he has. Then he's talking about crying out to God, and then he's saying, Dave, he heard me. And the earth shook. And Dave, God came down. Right here. He came down. That's what he's saying. He heard me, the earth shook, the hills trembled, and he came down. Okay? Goes on to say this. There went up, he bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. Where's he going? Well, what's happening here? David is distressed. He calls out to God. God hears him. He comes down on the wings of the wind. He's using this terminology for us because it is hard for us to grab an eternal being with our mind. So he's saying, I got to put this in a way that you can understand it. You may say it was just a prayer, but it's more than that because he heard me and he came down. On the wings of a cherub, he did fly. Where's he going? To the aid of somebody he loves. Can God do that? Can God do that? Do you believe this is real? He's telling you about what he experienced when he was distressed. And he had strongholds in his life. He's telling you what he did. He cried. What happened when you did that? Dave, this is what happened when I did that. He left heaven, he came down here, and he did it on the wings of the wind. Goes on to say this. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. At the brightness that was before him, his thick cloud passed. Hailstones and coals of fire. So before him went the brightness. That's his holiness. The Lord also thundered in the heavens. And the highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. Who's that? David's enemies. His strongholds, the things that had gripped him, the things he was worrying about. And he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me and drew me out of many waters. Now, was David drowning? Only in life. And look at the terminology. You ever felt like you were drowning and you just couldn't show it? And he said, he took me. Did he actually take him out of many rivers? No. That's the part that you can't see of all of us. And he said, he reached down and he drew me out of many waters. Because he's mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. This is a battle in his mind. Not a battle with flesh and blood. It's a battle with his mind. And he's saying, he drew me out of many waters. Do you think God's retired? Do you think this was just for David? Or is this actually something that we can lean on? Is this something? Think about it the next time. You just feel like sometimes there's things that you can't share with people. Sometimes there's things that just go in your own mind. Weights and pressures in life. No matter where you're at. He's just a prayer away. And will move heaven and earth to be there. And you know what enacts that? Whether or not you believe it. Because that's what David's saying here. He's saying, listen, I don't know about you. I can just tell you, this is what happened to me. When I felt like this, this is what he did. Okay? Goes on to say, he delivered me from my strong enemy. What did we read about earlier about strongholds? He cast them down, didn't he? Listen, every one of us have a strong enemy. And again, I don't want you to think about the top 10. I mean, this is a good church. You've already covered all that. I'm talking about the other stuff that limits us every day. It's how he slows us down and gets his mind off of where we are. The devil ruins what should be a perfectly good day. You ever just been mad and you don't even know why? Am I the only one that's like that? You don't even know why.
Yep.
You know? But you know you're not being nice. But you don't even know where it's coming from. You know, it's like, am I schizophrenic? Well, why am I feeling like this? I don't want to feel like this. I should be happy. Well, because there's a real enemy. And he's in the backfield the whole time. And whether it's the moment you get done, and bro, you've done this, where you ever preached before and thought that had to be the worst message you ever preached in your life, and you just think the whole world's calling for your resignation because it was that bad. You know, the ride home's terrible. Okay? And the only thing that saves you is a random text from somebody that says, good message. And you think right before you jump. You know, because all of a sudden you think, well, how'd you get like that? Well, do you think he wants you to continue doing that? Week after? No. Remember, the weapons, the things that come against us, they're not human. They can penetrate thoughts and emotions. They can be anywhere. On any corner. I mean, you can't see them. But boy, can they mess up life. And David's saying, man, I got help in this. This is what he did. Listen, it says, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me. For they were what? Too strong for me. What do we read? I can't take these strongholds down. They have been ruling me for a long time. They're too strong for me. I need your help. I can't do it. They're too strong for me. You know, sometimes even a man has to understand that. You know, it could simply be. Men by nature, I guess, because you're supposed to be the strong sometimes. I mean, not that women can't have anger issues, but men seem to struggle with that a little bit more. Do you know you can get relief from that? We've all said things to people we wish we wouldn't have said. I mean, have you ever used words, and they don't even have to be swear words, but after you do, you ever look into another human being's eyes and realize you just hurt them? Mm-hmm. And you don't want to do it. But it just seems like it's so simple. Those are the things that have embedded them and now become who we are. We put band-aids on them. Or we can realize and recognize that they're too strong for me. And I quit smoking 30 years ago. This other stuff, I wish I could just throw it out the window. I don't want to be insecure. I don't want to be fearful. I don't want to doubt. I just want to serve Him. Got all this stuff in the background. You got to, because back here, I didn't trust like I should have. Back here, I didn't forgive when I ought to have. I let that stuff build. Now it's embedded in me. I don't even know where to begin to cut on it. But he says, what's too strong for you? It's not too strong for me. And he can cast down those strongholds. And David said this, he delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me. Why? Because I'm a good person. Because he likes me. I don't know why, but he does. May I tell you something? He delights in you also. I wonder what would happen. I'm not asking you to confess some deep, dark sin. Everybody's got a stronghold. Been with you a long time. You just had to resign in the back. This is who I am. It's not what he says. He'll help you pull him down. What would happen if in this room tonight there'd be this many people to say, Lord, help me. And the angels look over at him and say, where are you going? I'm getting on the wind. Dave needs me. It's making that real to the point where it pulls down strongholds and sets us free. And when we're free, we can go do something for him. No boundaries. No boundaries, no chains on me. I'm free to go do what I'm supposed to for him. Now, I can tell you about it, but I can't make it real for you. Only you can do that. All I know is he loves me and you just as much as he loves David. And if you will trust him and you will believe him, the ground can shake for you too. Go home and think about that tonight. He delivered me from my enemy, who was too strong for me, but not for him. And that is incredibly comforting. And if we can do that, if and brother, you've seen it by pastor and people, you know, you just see life. The things that I deal with every day, sure, those other things come up. But far too often, I've seen young ladies say, well, why doesn't somebody like me? Well, that's ridiculous. Who's telling you that? I'm going to be alone my whole life. Well, where's that come from? Then you start believing that. Then you make bad decisions because you believe that. You see how that works? Those are the things that I find myself helping people with far more than I do the other stuff. Limitations put by us on our own self that we've allowed the devil to convince us that's the reality of my life. Then nobody likes me. There won't be somebody else out there that cares for me. Well, that was the only person that paid attention to me. And go on and on and on. It's those things. All of us on some level. You ever met somebody that's always got to be right? Okay, don't elbow anybody. Okay, you just know they always got to be right. No matter what, they got to be right constantly. Do you know that's not really them? That's just what they have become to believe about themselves. Those kinds of people can be a little bit difficult to be around all the time, right? They don't want to be like that. It's a stronghold. Would you be willing tonight to just admit a stronghold? Not to me, but to the Lord. Something that you know is reality, but you don't like it. And if it could be torn down, you'd love for it to be torn down. Would you admit to the Lord that it is too strong for me? And call on him. And let him come help you. Because when Jesus Christ sets you free, you can get on airplanes, teach Sunday school, sing in the choir, not drive every relative you have crazy. Because God helps us. Amen. To the pulling down of strongholds. I'm going to pray and I'm going to turn it over to you. Father, thank you for a very comforting chapter. I appreciate those words. I've read that chapter many times until you showed me that it's real. And what I got to read is David sharing his heart about what it looked like when you helped him. To him, you really did get on the wind. To him, the mountains really did shake. And he's talking about an everyday problem, not a physical enemy, just life. But to him, it was as real as he was telling it. The mountain shook, the ground trembled, and you rode the wind to his aid. And then you shot out your arrows at his enemies and at his fears. And you overcame them because they were too strong for David. Outside of what you did on the cross for us, one of the most beautiful things I've ever read. But I forget it too easily. May we be real with our strongholds. And would you help us? This is a good church. It not only does things in this community, but all across the world. But the half is yet to be told. And as we find help, then we can go out to that lost and dying world. And we can show them where we got it. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being kind and gentle to me. Thank you for being merciful. Thank you for delighting in me. It's very comforting to know that no matter what would be on your schedule, you'd leave it in a second to come to my aid. Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Well, amen. That message was about as practical and down-to-earth as you can get. Amen. The invitation's clear. If you have a stronghold in your life tonight, why don't you come forward, confess it to God, and ask Him to help you with it. He's waiting for us to cry out to Him. Every single person here tonight has something in their life that they could, if they're honest, say, God, this is holding me back.